KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. Bakersfield and the entire county. That's a winning combination on KNZR. Now, here's Terry Maxwell.
And good afternoon, everybody. We are here on a Monday. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. As a matter of fact, it's 5 o'clock here. We have Dr. Jan Mensing from the practice here. And, you know, I was talking to Dr. Mensing during the break. I did that commercial that you heard during the break probably 2 months ago. It's been probably about 2 months ago. And I at that time I did it, I thought, well, you know, I can't imagine feeling any better. But I'm telling you, everybody, I feel better today than I did back when I did that commercial. It just, my physical and mental health continues to improve weekly, monthly, daily, however you want to look at it. But I just can't wait to get better.
Health. We maybe should do a program on what steps you've taken and what happened.
I wouldn't want to bore everybody.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't want to bore DeJuan. He's already heard it already. I mean, come on. No, we could do something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It might be
the process. Yeah, it would. It would be. Because I think it's just what Confucius says. You know, the way to. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step.
Yes,
and there's people listening who just look at themselves like I looked at myself and said, I'm stuck with this. There's just nothing I can do.
I just can't seem
to do some of the things I used to be able to do. And I don't know how to get my body back into the kind of shape that I feel confident in doing some of the things that I used to do. And it does start with the first step.
Terry, yes.
You can't do it overnight.
Terry, I have to heal you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, I don't do the healing for that. Part of it. The counselors do part. But anyhow.
But we are going to talk about the spirituality of it. I've already told the audience we're going to talk about fear and spirituality with COVID-19.
Terry, go ahead.
So what is coronaphobia, when did they come up with that term?
Terry, there's a bunch of new things coming out of coronavirus, all right?
Mm-hmm.
13 months ago, NIH coined the term coronaphobia, all right? It's a new thing in our lexicon, all right? And essentially, it's a fear of coronavirus, all right? And there's a whole bunch of things coming out about this, Terry. It's just, there is amazing stuff, all right,
mm-hmm.
with to do with coronavirus and spirituality and stuff. In fact, towards the probably the end of the show, we're going to go over what the most number one important key is for spirituality to get rid of fear. All right, we're going to talk about that.
That's going to be
right.
Let me stop you just right from the beginning, because you talked about how coronaphobia is a fear of the coronavirus.
Yes,
is it a unfounded fear? Or is it a over the top fear?
Because
I think that
Terry, we're gonna go into that. It is
good.
Founded.
Good.
Okay, that's maybe all right, but it's not the fear itself that occurs. And we're gonna talk a little bit. This will become clear as we go through. I don't want to answer quite yet.
Okay,
I'll put my
You know me. I'm always about three pages ahead of everybody else. Okay, so coronavirus. Coronaphobia was a term that was coined by the NIH.
NIH. Yep. It's amazing, but it's true.
Who listens to them?
No, it's true. Here's Terry. Here's probably the most important things we found out just very, very recently. This is cutting edge stuff in the last, some of it's in the last year. All right.
Okay.
But Terry, we now know we have through functional MRI imaging, we now have shown specific areas of the brain that have to do with spirituality. Think of that. I mean, this is amazing kind of stuff, all right?
Oh, sure.
And I don't want to answer this question, but I think probably the biggest thing I can say to people, if this is true, and it is true, by the way, but if there's certain parts of the brain that have to do with spirituality, I have no business judging the person about his spirituality, especially if after he's had a stroke, because we don't know. That's God's job to judge. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
But the amazing thing is we now know that there's certain areas of the brain to do with spirituality. We're going to go into that a little bit.
Also for fear?
Yes, also for fear.
Okay.
All right. The second thing is that the history of this is very, very interesting, and we start to look at this in the history of what's happened, Terry, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it sort of puts into perspective of what can happen. But if you think of the early Christian, all right? You know, this is before spirituality, Christianity is a thing. You know, his fear is going to the lion's den, all right? You know what I mean?
Sure,
Or not. Lion's den, but the lion, you know, the Colosseum. The Colosseum with the lions in,
the lion,
all right?
Yeah.
Once Christianity became established, if that's the right word to say, you know, now we have stories in America of fear of the witches and the being burned
sure,
at the stake kind
sure,
of thing. All
sure.
right, you know, the shoes on
look,
the other
things
foot.
That we look back on and go, what are, were they crazy? There's yeah. no such well, thing as witches.
All right, today
hysteria.
we have the Falun Gong in China, which are being tortured, imprisoned, and organ harvested because of the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Today we have in the Middle East. In fact, Afghanistan is classic. There is fear of being hung or decapitated.
Right.
All right. This is true across much of the Middle Eastern countries. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And fear is part of that. You know, we have this fight or flight instinct. Everybody knows what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that fear is part of that fight and flight instinct. God made it. All right. It's there. But the issue, Terry, is how it's used and what we do with it. That's probably the most important thing.
Okay. So how do we use it? What are we doing right and what are we doing wrong with it?
Well, let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think it helps to go through real quickly some of the history. But we know that fear can become what's called a conditioned response. And that leads to what's called behavioralism.
Mm-hmm.
And in the earliest 20th century, there was a guy by the name of John B. Watson that essentially discovered, or I don't know if it's the right word to say discovered, but exposed fear-based conditioning, all right, in animals and then in humans. And then B.F. Skinner, all right, he stated that human behavior is predictable, therefore controllable, all right?
Right.
And he said there is no such thing as free will, and against this, this view, Skinner's idea was there's no such thing as free will, all right? He was dead wrong. Why? And there's one thing we have seeing right now in Afghanistan right now that says it's wrong. Well, what is that, Terry? We have Christian pastors and men and women who are willing to stay in Afghanistan and preach the gospel without fear, even though they're going to be beheaded or killed or whatever.
Right.
All right?
Right.
That shows that Skinner was not really right.
Just right? as the 12 disciples.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right? There's a man by the name of Edward Bernays, and he's called the father of public relations and propaganda. And he was a nephew of Sigmund Freud.
Yep.
But some of the things to just think real quickly. In the last 100 years, it was acceptable for doctors and women to smoke. And that was done by, we call it propaganda. Propaganda, that's not really the right word for it. But it was done by advertising by the drug companies. All right?
By the cigarette companies.
Tobacco companies.
Yeah, tobacco.
I'm sorry, you're dead right.
Well, and it was a big deal when the
I don't want to knock the drug companies for something they didn't
it
do.
It was a big deal when the Surgeon General finally made them put on the cigarettes that there was a link to cancer.
People today don't realize, but less than 100 years ago, bacon and eggs were never thought to be a good breakfast food. In fact, it was not heard of.
Right.
Who did that and made it a staple? Today, bacon and eggs for breakfast. Did that come from?
The farmers. They were raising all these pigs.
Meat packing companies did the advertising to change that. Today, that's advertising, Terry.
Sure. Well, but and quite frankly, the breakfast before was very similar to the German breakfast and the English breakfast, where you didn't. It was just breads and porridges and things like that,
cereals and things like that. We started adding aluminum to water, All right. Which, in looking back, who would do that? That was done by an aluminum company. I mean, looking back, you know, we shaped. Yeah. Oh my gosh! You know? All right. In Guatemala, 1951, and this is the U.S. government. There was a democratically elected regime that we didn't like, and essentially the CIA overthrew them. All right, by doing essentially fear advertising. All right, in Guatemala. All right, to set things up to have a revolution.
Sure.
Right. Joseph Goebbels. Yeah, you know, everybody's heard of him.
Yeah, Goebbels.
And he said, creating moral panic is the surest way to sway public opinion. All right. And that's we're seeing some of the same things true today, Terry.
Well, sure.
With the
just look at a political campaign. They say, you know, oh, I'm not going to do any negative campaigning. Well, you know, if you don't do the negative campaigning, you can't fear anybody.
Yes. I don't want to go there, but
yeah,
that's
but I mean,
there's a lot of
marketing. Yes. Marketing for certain things is based on using that fear content.
The other thing that's happened is how we define cults and abnormal behavior. Mm-hmm. All right. And today, compared to 30 years ago, our definition of a cult, Alcoholics Anonymous is defined as a cult. That's something that's changed in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So this operant conditioning is functional today as it was 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, and 1,000 years ago. Okay. It's true. And we have to be aware of that.
Is that because it's always been designed that way in the brain?
Now
that we can see into the brain and stimulates
it? Here's what we know within the brain. We have, Terry, certain areas of the amygdala. Mm-hmm. By the way, anger and fear come to very close to the same areas, by the way. All right? Mm-hmm. That's why fear and anger are very much associated. And hopefully, if we have time, we'll go into that later
in
the program. But anger and fear are very closely associated. All right? The second thing is probably the most we've talked about this in a program before, but the amygdala, it's a certain part of the brain, all right, the central part of the brain that is has a lot to do with stress, all right? Now, here's what we know. If the person meditates or increases their spirituality, we're going to talk a little bit about what that is and what it does and what it doesn't do.
Okay.
All right? But that decreases stress. And that's been known. In fact, we've had programs on that before, on stress issues. All right?
Sure.
That's been known for probably the last 5 years. But also, we know that spirituality, and we're going to talk about what that is, all right, what that means, hopefully, in the program. But spirituality increases the blood flow to the amygdala. Number two, it increases the blood flow to the prefrontal cortex. And it decreases your stress. It decreases... increases problem solving, and it increases, this is to me is shocking, it increases, we have documented studies showing that the more spiritual you are, I'm not talking about being religious, but more spiritual life you have in you, the more likely, the thicker your prefrontal gray matter is.
We'll get to
that
why that's important right after this message.
The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner. Bakersfield's choice for local Kern County news. AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Okay, everybody, we are back. Here on the Terry Maxwell Show, we're talking to Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice. You had mentioned a very beneficial thing, the thickening of the frontal cortex, the gray matter, right?
Yes.
What is that? Why is that beneficial?
Why? Oh, okay. Three things. The more, the thicker your gray matter is in the prefrontal area, that's the front of your brain, all right?
Right?
The frontal lobes. The better you have at planning, the better you are at problem solving, and the better you are at controlling your emotions.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Because fear is an emotion, whether we like it or not. It is. And it's also highly related to anger.
Right.
So the thicker your prefrontal cortex is, the better you're going to be able to look and treat and deal with this fear issue and the anger issues and the emotional issues from it.
Okay, so we need to move on to what are you going to do about it? What is the key?
Okay, we're going to go over a bunch of things, all right? And then probably at the end of this, we'll go over what the most important key is. There's one thing that's more important than anything else, all right? Number one is you want to avoid in your life, you have to have a time of spiritual attention or mindfulness, people call it. That's the new term, all right? Mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And number one, you want to shut down distractions. You want to have a time, you know, my wife has her time when she's doing her Bible study and reading her Bible and her prayer and her time alone. You know, I have my time when I do by myself, set aside my time. Mm-hmm. You have a time that you're by yourself. It's you only. All right. So no distractions, right? That, even if it means shutting your phone off. You know what I mean? Number two is, you know, get rid of that cell phone. All right?
Yeah.
Just, oh my gosh. All right, just. Number three is don't bring work home. This is especially true for us doctors, especially those of us on call. I'm speaking to myself.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's
all right.
That's sometimes tough.
That's not only physicians, all right? It's all of us. But don't bring work home, all right? There has to be a dedicated time when you're away from it all right? Because if you do not, if you continue to do that, you know, it's going to, after a year and a half, it's going to catch up with you and bad things are going to happen emotionally to you. In fact, you can get distressed. I mean, depressed. And your serotonin levels going down the tube because you do this. All right? Because you have no time by yourself for yourself.
Would this be defined as somebody who's a workaholic?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And by the way, Terry, this is some of the most successful people have this issue.
Well, some people equate the fact that the only way you can be successful is by working yourself, your fingers to the bone and making yourself unavailable for other things.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
This is interesting. But we have studies after studies showing that if you spend 10 minutes with yourself, by yourself, with meditation and prayer and spirituality things, all right?
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes is not very long, Terry. You will make your day go faster. You will accomplish more with less stress than if you didn't spend the 10 minutes.
Right.
Wow. All right. And there's lots of study for that. All right. Another thing that's important is when you do is think about how you're doing your breathing. All right. When you're doing this, a lot of people just they can't shut themselves off. That sounds bad, but they can't. You know, their quiet time. This quiet time. This 10, 15 minutes, half an hour. Whatever that is. And by the way, I will submit to those people who know what we're talking about. You know, there's people have a high spiritual insight. They've gone through this for years. The once you start to realize the benefit, the more you will do it. It's not going to be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It'll become half an hour, an hour. It'll take over your life. And we're going to talk towards the end of this how it becomes a life attitude. Do you follow what I'm saying? So that all of a sudden your life becomes smooth, all right? But think about your breathing. Number two, when you're drinking something, you know, we just gulp it down. Right.
Right.
You know,
right, yeah.
You don't even think about it. That mindful awareness, saying, I'm going to savor this. I'm going to – it's a mental attitude, Terry, of not just go, 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 go. All right? That's true with your eating. This mindful attitude, I'm going to enjoy my eating. What am I eating? I'm going to chew my food well.
Do I have to enjoy the company I'm at the dinner table too, or can I skip
should.
That?
I probably should. Do one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I, we are programmed to be multitaskers, all right? And I'm not against multitasking, but one way of getting control of your life is do one thing at a time, all right? Number four is get in tune with your senses. There's just something about just... Yeah, I can get time to smell the roses. I get time to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Get time to all of a sudden we know that when you take that time to get your senses in tune, if that's the right word to say,
sure,
the changes your brain waves and your alpha waves in your brain. So neat things happen. So something's actually happening that we can measure in your brain. All right. There's people who talk about this mindfulness or the spiritual sense of getting into the zone, if that's the right word to say, is start to listen deeply. What does that mean? You know, it's hard to put that into words, but where you come to a different sense in your interaction with people, that you're not listening to what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
but listening to what they are trying to say or what they really mean. All right?
Yeah, I think that would be...
Women are better at that really than we do.
Yeah, that would be astounding for most men if they could actually remember what they're told. Today my wife Paula was telling me, now, you know, when you guys bring this subject up or when you bring this subject up, I would be sure and talk about such and such. And it's like, she left. I said, not a problem. She left. And it's like,
what did she say?
What did she say? but I did remember it. I did remember exactly what she was talking about because, you know, it was an important topic. Yeah. And we haven't been able to broach that subject at this point. But sometime during this week, we will talk about it.
Terry, another thing I'm a big believer in, if you're stressed all the time and just having a lot of trouble with even getting into the spiritual zone, all right?
Right.
A lot of people, they don't even know what it is. They can't even get into it, all right? Getting out and walking by yourself, all right? Not running, just slowly walking.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It doesn't have to be
taking it all in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But these are things that you can do. But there's one thing, probably the most important thing. I don't know if you want to go now or you want to wait after.
No. Let's go ahead and keep on.
It has to do with what your spirituality is based on, Terry. This is probably the most important factor in all of this, of getting rid of fear.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this corona fear, virus fear, and phobia that's going on. And it's, Terry, it is, I mentioned another program about 6 weeks ago. Well, I had a patient come in to see me, and he's a good man. He's not a bad guy, all right?
Right.
Hadn't been out of his house for 13 months.
Because he's fearful.
Fearful. That's fear, mm-hmm. all right? That is fear. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit, about those issues and what you can do, practicality. But here's the issue. Number one is it depends what my spirituality is based on. All right?
Right.
And here is the number one thing. There's two pivot points right here for your spirituality. 90% of all people, maybe that's two. I don't want to put a percentage on. That's the wrong way to say it. That's wrong what I just said. But the majority of people, all right, especially with these issues, their spirituality, listen carefully, is based on what they do. All right? Versus there's another set of spirituality that says it's not based on what I did or do.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on what the higher power, Jesus, the God of heaven, can do or will do for me.
Mm-hmm.
Two different waypoints. Number one, it's my spirituality is based on what I do. And that spirituality, when you have that focus, it's what I do and how I get the spirituality, how can I get closer to God? Something happens. It tends to do little, or it's hard. That's maybe a better way to say it, to get rid of stress and fear and anxiety. All right? But once your spirituality is based on something else for the Christian, what Jesus did for him, I don't have to be good to get to heaven.
Well, for the first group, they have a fear of losing everything.
Exactly.
But for the second group, they already have everything they need because it's being supplied to them by God anyway.
Exactly.
And so even if they lose everything, they know that God's going to take care of them and everything's going to be okay.
This is why, you know, we have these stories in Afghanistan that we have pastors out there mm-hmm. refusing to leave, and they know they're going to be martyred. They know this. All right? And they're refusing to leave, and they're still going to go preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I could do that. I mean, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, that's commitment, all right? But they can only do that, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way you can do that until you come to this point where my spirituality is not based on what I'm doing.
You know, I know I've mentioned this book before, The Survivors Club. But when you take this test, it tells you what your backup, where you go when you're challenged and fear is something that you have to deal with. And they have, I think, 7 or 8 different kind of modes that people go into. And the one that is the least is your spirituality. of all the ones that they list, you know, a certain percentage of people I'm somebody that is very flexible and creative, and I can handle problems and overcome them. But the people who their fallback position is their belief in God and their spirituality. Number one, that's the smallest group, but that's also the most successful group.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, you know, in the Bible, the Christians use this word, just keep my mind stayed on him or on Jesus, all right? Mm-hmm. And that's what Christians call abiding, all right? I don't know, it's hard to put that into words, but that a word abiding, mm-hmm. you know, it means I've got this focus in my life that I'm always in tune or incensed, that's the wrong word, but I'm always, my sense of my, everything I'm doing, mm-hmm. God is in the background. Yeah. Right, he's yeah. always there.
Right,
and that's that importance of that shift in goals. It's not what I do to get to heaven; it's what I am in connected with that makes the difference. That all of a sudden, wonderful things happen. And where are Christians, quotes, if, you right. know, right. people that go to church get in trouble. All right,
mm-hmm.
get in trouble is. It's easy to say, "Oh, Jesus, you know, saved all my sins, you know, in the past. I forgive him. I, you know, kneel down and say a little prayer, and I'm all, you know,
I'm all good, so I can go sin some more."
Well, yes, but more important than that is that if you have the idea that from there on I have to live a good life or I'll lose that,
right?
You're back to square one. My spirituality is based on what I do, and you don't win.
Right.
All right.
Right. Let's take a break. We're going to come back, and then we'll get into the one key point that you want to make.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to be back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice. We're talking about fear and COVID-19.
AM 15, 6 PM 97.7 KNZR. News, traffic, weather, and the best local news team. We will rock you. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Oh, that's a great album. Anita Baker. I played that one like in my first month I was here. Okay, we are talking to Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice. We're talking about fear, and spirituality. Now, you mentioned abiding. How can you make that work, abiding?
there's no easy answer to that. There's five things, Terry.
Okay.
Five things that you have to do to make this transition to say, I'm no longer going to trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trust the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done it for me. I'm not going to worry about it. All right?
Right.
What do you have to do? Number one, you have to spend time with God. All mm-hmm. right? You have to set the time aside. End of discussion. This is my time. All right?
Right.
Number two, you have to be willing to pray. All right? And number three, there's such a thing as meditating on the scriptures, spending time in the word. All right?
Right.
Whether that's to start with just reading it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those of you who are not, you know, Christians or want to become a Christian, start the book of John. Because it's a good one to start with.
Yeah, it is.
All right, but number four is you have to tell someone. The scripture is very clear. It does no good to believe it until you tell someone. It's by telling and speaking it, it becomes real. A lot of people get caught with that. They want hidden spirituality.
No.
It doesn't work, Terry. It does not work. They have to be willing to express it.
Right.
By expressing it, it becomes real. All right? That's a big point that there's no
because that shows that you have gotten over the fear of rejection when people
Terry there is no such thing as secret spirituality.
Right,
it's all said and done.
Right,
all right,
right.
You don't get that indwelling love and all those other neat things that come from spirituality unless you're willing to express it. All right,
got it.
The number five is just remember this spirit. It says a spirit of fear. It's a spirit. It's mm-hmm. like an evil thing. All right. It needs to be rebuked. And my wife has a saying. She says, just do it afraid.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And you're going to start with, just do it afraid. Don't be afraid of it, okay?
When they've interviewed the people who were brave that did these brave things, they said, I just did it. I was afraid, but I still did it.
Yeah. That's it. You hit the nail right on the head. That's the simplest way of saying it, all right? Probably the biggest issue that people have trouble with, Terry, with this is, first of all, people can't get it through that I can't trust myself to do it. I have to let go, all right?
Yep.
God has to do it for me. I have to be willing to trust that there is a God, there is a Savior, that Jesus Christ, I have to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do it. It's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I have to be willing to tell someone about it. All right? That's very important. All right? Because or else you can do all the others, it's not going to become real. All right? I want to go over to Terry, probably with the last little bit. There's a bunch of things that spirituality helps. All right?
Okay.
Because this is amazing. But we know that spirituality, and we're talking about this true spirituality. All right. We've talked about the difference.
Core spirituality.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. Core spirituality. But what it does, all right? In fact, if you go to WebMD, all right, one of their advertisements, in fact, they're having a spirituality conference, I think starting 31st to the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a hot topic.
Sure.
Among people. This is not, we're talking about something that
when
is
there's a nation,
cutting edge stuff.
When there's a nation gripped in fear, this is when evangelism works.
Everybody's talking about this. This is not some little, we're not out there. Is that the right word? But this is cutting edge stuff, all right? Because we're all looking at it. Now, here's what we know for spirituality. We know that it helps your blood pressure. And this was a study a couple of years ago, 5,300 black patients. Mm-hmm. Blacks have a higher problem with blood pressure than normal people.
Right.
No, I said that wrong. Non-black people, I didn't mean. Blacks are not normal. But blacks have higher problems with blood pressure. So the worst case issues with blood pressure are helped more than other people with spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, all right? We have studies showing that spirituality helps mental health. We have studies showing spirituality helps Alzheimer's. We have studies showing it helps despair from partner dying. We have it helps with making you lose weight, helps with intimacy, helps increase gray matter through all of the brain, helps decrease the fear of cancer, and increases your immune system. Now, I have two things at the end I want to talk about.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and take this break, and then when we come back, we'll get those two things out. So, everybody, stick around. We got two more things, the most important things that we were going to do in the beginning. So, we'll be right back.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR.
This is the end. Beautiful friend, this is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety or surprise. I'll never look into your eyes.
Okay, everybody, we got 1 minute, and Dr. Mensing is going to give you those last two things.
Number one, fear is a choice.
Fear
is a choice. All right. Number two, you win with fear by letting go of yourself and having the trust and willingness to let God take control. And be willing to tell somebody else about it.
Those are the two things.
That's it.
If you do those, you can overcome it.
Overcome fear. It's not easy. By the way, it's tough. Terry, some people have bigger problems than that. In fact, fear is encoded in our DNA. So some people have a tougher problem. I mean, let's be fair. All right? But spirituality, spirituality is where it works.
In AA, the anonym for fear is false evidence appearing real.
Well, a lot of the fear today is true evidence.
Well, that's true. We don't have to look too far to see, oh my goodness, what is going on? We've got a nation gripped in fear. And you've talked for a long time. We have a spiritual problem.
Yeah, we need a moral and spiritual awakening service.
Join us again tomorrow. We'll be back.